Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is QLS Classic from May 10th, 2017 with The Emotion. We talked to the Grammy Award-winning Chicago, Illinois songbirds who have 5 decades under their belts of harmonies, hits, and samples that have become the staple of our lives. Joining them was also Y.N. Vaughn of Dr. Dre's The Pharmacy Show, and they recall their family history and song and memories. It's really cool. We hope you enjoy this episode of QLS Classic with The Emotions.
Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
Don't touch that dial.
Yeah.
Don't push and shove.
Yeah.
Cause you getting the best.
Yeah. Roll call.
Suprema, roll call. Suprema.
My name is Fonte.
Yeah.
I am not Questlove.
Yeah.
But it is my love.
Yeah.
You get the best of.
Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
Boss Bill's my name.
Yeah.
Chilling with the tribe.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Emotions.
Yeah.
For my jam love vibes.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema roll call.
My name is Sugar.
Yeah.
We in LA.
Yeah.
All these emotions.
Yeah.
It's our last day.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
I'm unpaid Bill.
Yeah.
Drinking kombucha.
Yeah.
What rhymes with kombucha?
All the future.
Suprema roll call.
It's Laia.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited.
Yeah.
3 beautiful ladies.
Yeah.
I know why I was invited.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Wanda.
Yeah.
You got the best of my love.
Yeah.
I'm a passion.
Yeah.
I'm from that gift up above.
Whoa. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
I'm Y.N. Vaughn.
Yeah.
The voice of reason.
Yeah.
I'm hot, I'm spicy.
Yeah.
Call me well seasoned.
Roll call. Oh. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Pam.
Yeah.
And I just came here.
Yeah.
Give you my number.
Yeah.
I'll play your game.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
Damn. Damn.
Yes, me too.
Me too.
My kombucha future rhyme. Shit. All right, wait. What rhymes with kombucha?
It was,
future? I'm on pay bill drinking kombucha, happy them toilets. I'm from the future.
Yeah.
At least I got to say it.
Yeah, those are some pretty futuristic toilets back then.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Oh, man.
I was so busy trying to coordinate my
sample
that I couldn't. That I couldn't. I was trying to coordinate my sample. Wow.
Oh, the least complicated roll call of the whole
that
trip.
Is so funny.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Questlove Supreme on Pandora.
Yeah.
We are in the presence of royalty,
man,
ladies
listen.
And gentlemen. Yes,
man.
Royalties. For over 5 decades, the world has been blessed with a distinct harmony and vocal stylings of our next guest from their humble beginnings in Chicago. Chicago, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, as a gospel group, the Sunbeam
Hutchinson Sunbeams.
Exactly. Later evolving on the world stage as the Emotions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our very distinct guest, our first group.
Yeah,
on the
first
show.
Group.
Wow.
Yeah. On the
show. A first.
Second, well,
like
other
that.
Than the Revolution.
Okay. Well, yes.
This is our first singing group, though. This is
yes,
our
first singing
oh,
group.
Wow.
Welcome.
Oh, wow.
Madam
we're
Pamela
so...
Hutchison, Wanda Vaughn, and YN Vaughn, yeah. Collectively known in our hearts as the Emotionals.
Yes,
oh, thank you. Thank you. So delighted to be here. I just must say, Quest, I just love seeing you play those drums. I love it. I love right. hearing it. I
Seriously.
Sing with you.
I, Ms. Wanda, I can't. I really can't. I know people think I'm being disingenuous when I say I can't believe you know that I'm alive. But this is really a great moment for me.
Oh, wow.
So. You know, the purpose of our show is to really go in depth into the guests that we have on the show, because oftentimes, you know, you have favorites, but you really don't know them as people, and you know, especially pre this decade, you know, where people's lives are always on display more than their talent or
That's
whatever.
True.
You know, there's a lot of us, me included, that, you know, I don't know much about the Emotions as a, as humans, you know.
Right.
I know about your beginnings in Chicago. So you guys started in, obviously, in church?
Yes. In church, that's true. We were singing on Sunday sometime at Mahia Jackson's church over on 87th Street,
Whoa.
Right down the street from, what was the guys that played the boys from Chicago? Huh? No, not the Shy Lights, but the Jackson 5, Emotions, and the little guy that sings and drums. Oh, I know
not
him so.
Condition.
Huh? No, not Men Condition.
No, Ooh. That's the wrong decade.
He said, yes. She said sing and drum, and I'm like,
well, because they play the drums, and then their sister was in the group, the Stair Steps.
Oh, the five stair steps.
No, yes. The five stair steps, because we all did the Apollo together. It just so happened the very first time we did it.
Really,
Apollo, Jackson 5, Emotions.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and Ronnie Millsap. However,
wow,
Ronnie Millsap.
I know nobody never
Shout
had
out
it
to
so
Ronnie Millsap.
Good.
Yes.
But anyway,
Wait,
what a
love
beginning!
Love from the Third Degree, Ronnie
yeah,
Millsap.
No, he had a hit in the '80s.
Never had it so good.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, Love from the Third Degree.
No, there was another one. His top 40 hit.
Which one?
I can't remember.
It's whatever,
I remember love.
I'll get back to you. We can skip Ronnie Millsap and
wait a minute. But she said Ronnie Millsap played the Apollo.
Yes.
That is mind blowing.
Well,
to
he's
him.
Blind, so he didn't know where he was.
Oh my goodness! That's awful.
Oh my.
Okay.
But anyway, that was
your
our
mic,
first
your mic privileges
venue.
Have been revoked.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But we had a gospel show there in Chicago called the we actually sang in Al Abrams Pontiac. It was a showroom of all the Pontiacs that were at that time, Tempest, the Grand Prix, and we were the singers, my father playing guitar. He also sold the cars and gave
right.
people insurance.
Right.
And that's where we met Don Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually giving insurance. I mean, he was a salesman there,
right?
You know, for insurance. But anyway, and we sang with a Jubilee Showcase, which is now on YouTube. It's it was on the Unsung episode.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, that was our first. And I just happened to, because you know how Social Security sends you your very first thing that you did.
Right.
That was the first thing that we did.
Wow.
And from. What, 7 or 8 years old when we first
That's
started?
That's when you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
When the Emotion. Well, we were the Hutchison
Sunbeams at the time.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
And then, of course, the Staple Singers.
I was about to say, so it was sort of like your father was Pops.
Yeah.
Was our father. Mm-hmm. And
right, but
then,
I mean,
and
it's Pops. Like Pop Staples.
Right.
Like Pop Staples, exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
He got Purvis Staples to manage. He was our manager.
Really?
You know, when we got with
didn't
Isaac
he once,
Hayes.
Didn't he once have a nightclub, too? Because I
yes.
know that he left the...
On 79th Street.
Yeah, he left the Staple Singers, too.
And it had a big Cadillac on the top of it. I'm trying to think of the name of it, though. And that's when he was going with Melba Moore. But I remember that. We would sing there about once a month, and he would have people that come in town come there, and Joe Simon. I mean, oh, all the best.
Nice.
How easy was it to... Well, obviously... You must have had your parents' blessings because they're in the act with you. But I often hear of times of groups that start in gospel.
Yes.
and try to sort of sneak their way into the secular world, to the nightclubs and what? Like, how do you? Was it easy to switch the two? Like,
well, it was more of a situation for my grandmother, dad's mom, out of Terre Haute, Indiana, and
Mama
she
Rose?
Was Mama Rose, and she was like, wow, you know you brought them girls up to sing for God. Now, singing for the devil ain't part of that. And blah, blah. I mean, she was really like that.
Right.
And our first at the the Regal Theater in Chicago, when we won the contract in 69 to sing on Stax Records, right. I can't go. I can't go. And you girls, you got to say. He said, but you got to promise me you got to sing a gospel song every time you do a show. And if anybody knows us, when we do a show, we sing gospel.
Yeah.
You do
so
okay.
We kept that part in there. I said, but Mama, we're not singing about people who aren't married. We're just singing about people who are in love and getting married.
Yes. Yes.
So, and, you know, Sheila wrote the first song, So I Can Love You. Which Isaac Hayes produced, and but anyway, that was the first thing that came out in 1969.
So, what was that whole, at least that the grind between? Because I'm certain that you guys between Chicago, I'm sure that you went to
Memphis. That's where we recorded in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, between Chicago, like just the Midwest, between Chicago, Indiana, just that whole circuit. What was it like? Like was everyone, I mean, a typical day for those contests or whatever, were there always?
Yes, and we were still in school, so we always did the contest at the school, you know, at the high school and the junior high, and we would have, and everyone would want to sing with us because we still sang in Chicago before we had a record deal.
Right.
So people knew of us, you know, in the area because my father had a radio show on the Gospel Morning radio, you know, situation. So everyone kind of knew us. So they would want to sing with the Hutchison Sunbeams when we would do the, the concert?
Jubilee Showcase?
Jubilee Showcase. But, you know, we'd have to pick someone who's the winner, the auditions.
Yeah.
Talent shows.
Talent shows.
All the talent. That was a big thing in Chicago. That was a big thing.
Everyone had a talent show.
Yeah. And then all of the radio folks, they always came out to the school. That's what's so different about this age and before, they were more into the community.
Exactly. And it was at the community process center.
Yes, yes.
That I even at 9 years old,
yes,
my brother had his own band, and I sang Aretha Franklin song by myself.
Yes.
Miss Beck.
Yes.
And I didn't have a, you know, at 9 years old, I wanted to be kind of flashy, so I had on an orange dress,
oh, Lord.
Red socks,
oh, no.
A green pearl necklace.
Oh. Wow.
I was real colorful.
Well.
All the colors of the rainbow.
And Herb Kent would be the guy, I don't know if you remember Herb Kent, the gent.
Herb Kent, the gent, yeah.
Yes. And he would come to all the sock hops. We had sock hops. We tried to start that. We came sock out here. People went, sock hop?
Yeah, sock hop. Yeah.
What's a sock hop?
What communities are going to come? You
wait,
have to
you
do
had
it on the night.
I don't know. No, yeah. I don't know. What is a sock hop?
A sock hop in the gym because you
like
couldn't wear your shoes in
it's
the gym.
It's a dance with just
so you
socks
had to
on.
Take off your shoes.
Yeah. I didn't know that you had to take off your shoes.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Most people wore Bobby socks. I thought that's why
that's
you called
what it
that.
Was.
Right.
Yeah. It was sock hop. Well, you couldn't wear shoes on the gym floor.
Your high school dance.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah,
but
in socks.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you're on the court where the basketball players and you know you can't wear
scuff it up.
Hard shoes.
You didn't want to scuff it up. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm like, what was the point?
That makes for good dancing and flipping and doing all that
yes.
All
yeah.
Stuff.
And then at the Catholic church, which is amazing because all the black folks went to the Catholic church just to the sock hop there was the skating. You'd skate to the 70s music at the Catholic church because they had the big arena.
Wow.
You know, so but it was amazing because we come out and then all the white people would be standing outside because they wouldn't come in on the nights that we that we had the skating. It
so
was just,
Chicago wasn't integrated?
Well, at that time.
Not at that time.
And even when it does
integrate. It was 68, you know.
Yeah. Chicago has always been an interesting, like, segregated type city,
it's
right?
Interesting
yeah.
type of city.
Interesting, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Still.
That's crazy.
But the church let us have it there, and it was certainly a Catholic, you know, it wasn't the Baptist church. It was
right.
The.
Right, it was 100% Catholic.
But they wanted to be a part of the community, which was really something. And even the largest, like, the car dealers and so forth, they would let us have, they would move the cars back and let people have a dance situation or talent show. And you know what? It was really smart because they got their parents and then, they, you know, they're fixing to buy a car, so they're going to buy a car
right.
from the place where they can go dance.
Right.
And I'm like, gosh, I wish L.A. had that kind of a, you know, now. But I don't know.
I don't know if anywhere has that kind of a thing now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to work there.
That was a great. That would
community
be a great
was the
incentive.
It seemed like that was the center of everything, though. That every
yes.
like the radio outlets, cars, right. Mm-hmm. Church, everyone sewed into the community.
That's true.
That's kind of awesome.
So, yeah. Okay, so you said that Don Cornelius would be there. Did you? You guys obviously did the local version of Soul Train, correct?
Yes, we did. There. The uh-huh. very first one, Channel 26, which was UHF.
Oh, wow.
The very first Soul Trains were on UHF.
So how revolutionary was that at the time in Chicago? Like, the idea of a show where you saw black teenagers dancing and...
Right. It was a really big deal.
It was really...
Uh-huh, because it was, you know, they... Normally, the people would have a... What was that guy, the real famous dance show?
American Bandstand?
Yes, yeah. American Bandstand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dick Clark. Whoever
Dick
that guy.
Yes, Dick Clark.
And this was
before they moved out here, before they moved Soul Train.
Yeah, I meant the yes. local Chicago version.
Yeah,
the
you're
local.
Right.
Yeah.
How big was the room?
The room was no was bigger, a little bigger than this.
Well, the actual room where the commitment was at that hotel, you know, down there.
Downtown
where
Chicago?
Where Donny Hathaway would play. Yeah.
It was a small room. Billy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, not with the dancing part where the people were. Yeah.
It was small.
Yeah.
Did you do that one with the Munty?
Yeah.
You know
oh,
what she's talking
I
about?
Did.
Where we actually sang.
I know.
But the dance part was in the lobby, kind of, you know.
It was bigger.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Sounds like two different stories.
You were 9 years old.
I wasn't nine. Okay.
Jeanette was in the group
no,
then.
I did that. Oh,
there goes that question about
I did.
So this is a real, you both must know,
show.
This is a real family business.
Oh,
as you
we
can
know.
See. And it's so funny because I have to remember, like, these are real sisters. I see them as mom and auntie, but when they have their fun times like this, mm-hmm. I have to remember, like, as if it was me and my sisters. That's called step back. I don't have jurisdiction in that. I don't got a dog in the fight.
I wasn't
so.
There. Yeah.
I was not. I, and,
but you
oh,
were the
okay.
first one showed it to us on YouTube. We didn't even know that was on YouTube.
That was the one, though, when you guys did, when you had the white on and you did
yes.
Best of My Love. Was that in
yeah, but no, that
no.
was out here.
That was
no.
once,
that
once
was,
that's what I'm telling you about.
Yeah,
that's,
that was
that's the bigger
my love.
Yeah, that's the yeah. established one. I'm, I
yeah.
meant the before
the
when it was yeah. a black and white and before.
Black and white.
Right.
Before
yes.
it you know, got big.
Yes.
That version of Soul Train. But you also mentioned, like, a lot of your contemporaries. You just ever so casually, like, oh, Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, yeah.
So because Chicago is just the epicenter and such a musical, you know, birthplace for
yeah.
many of our favorites. On a casual week, like, who were
wow.
you seeing that are our gods now, but who's
right, right.
just who would you run into? And
the Impressions all the time. And
Chaka Khan.
Chaka, my yeah. baby. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Chaka.
Really?
We went to school together. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when they had when King, that thing happened, and they were looting and doing all of this so-called.
Right.
Chaka and I went to the Disciples, you know, the gangs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because they loved us and knew us, they let us talk to them and you know, in the same room. And
right.
the police used us to go. I mean, it was just so wonderful.
Wow.
Used us to go into their places where they would meet to talk to them. And like, don't go over here. You know that's Brother So-and-so's business. And they're like, okay. So they did it, and we were, like, so shocked because me and Chaka had these froes like this, and we had those tops
uh-huh.
that stopped right here and the bell-bottom pair, and they would really listen to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I would have listened to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. Let's go home.
But anyway, it was quite a situation then.
You had that one picture with when you guys were singing at Mahalia's church, and Mahalia Jackson was looking up.
Oh, right.
Did you see her often?
Yes, because my dad, because he was singing with us when we were doing gospel. And so when we would go to her church, it would be like a Sunday every other. It was the tea, when they would have the tea. And we would do this repertoire. And when dad would sing with us, we did, what was that, Ave Maria. We would do all these songs that sings like Barbershop or mm-hmm. four or five-part harmony. Mm-hmm. And he played,
guitar.
Well, he did play electric then. because he started off not playing electric, but he would play these songs. And so she would ask if we did Prodigal Son and Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know, a lot of songs like that. And she says, are you going to put these girls in some kind of music conservatory? I would love to, you know, be a part of their education. I mean, she actually said that to him when we weren't even thinking about, you know, right. a music conservatory.
Did you realize that she was royalty back then, or was it just
yes
like,
because all these people would come from because it was in a black neighborhood, and they would be coming from Europe or coming from wherever they
just to hear her sing.
Wow. And she would amazing. Do that home song. She would do the, oh my gosh, the song that was in the movie, you know, Imitation of Life. Wow. Oh my god, but she could sing just a regular Amazing Grace. When she was, your skin would crawl, mine would just crawl. And then I wasn't even, you know, I was a kid, and I was like, why is my skin crawl? I mean, what is that? And she's not singing all these runs that everybody does today. Mm-mm. She's not, but she's just singing that guttural,
very stern.
And then she had very little vibrato, and she knew when to make it the smooth tone and the contralto tone. And I didn't know those words then. I couldn't figure out what was it making me go, you know. Mm. But anyway, I kind of enveloped it into my lead singing. Yep. And it was really a thing because I always sung the gospel mostly in the group. But she had a way of doing a guttural low squall that I've never heard anyone do. Mm-hmm. But she did it. And I mean, everyone in the place is crying. It's like, why are they crying? You know, I mean, but that, anyway.
So how did you learn? Because like, hearing you use the terms like contralto and, you know, the vibrato and everything, did you ever actually take like formal lessons, or were these just things you picked up along the road?
My father, he had us, like, you know, when we would rehearse, he would have us just listen to, now, believe it or not, we watched the Lawrence Welk Show.
Oh, wow.
And what's those girls that
sisters?
Sing? The Andrew Sisters.
Yeah.
And don't we did a lot of commercials in town. There were those guys, the High Lows.
Right. Oh,
and we got to go down there to
all the barbershop stuff.
Yeah, where the Impressions recorded is actually where they did the CBS studios at that time. And we got a chance to watch them. And we was like, wow, that's how Dad do our singing, you know, because we sang a cappella in the rehearsal.
Right.
We weren't singing with music and stuff. And so Dad would go, no, and you knew what this meant. You go low, you go high. Because no one could figure out, I remember when B&G B was recording I Don't Want to Lose Your Love.
Yeah.
And she said, how did you guys sing the harmony?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time you'd be on top and the other one be on bottom.
Yeah.
But my father was into fourths and fifths because he said those were the anointed
intervals.
Mm-hmm. And anytime you see those movies, do 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 do, that interval is always a fourth or a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really didn't know that then, but Dad would tell us this stuff. I'm like, now where did he get this?
right.
But anyway, that's kind of how we got into it. But it was something. And the more that we sang and then saw others that knew, I mean, not knew as to telling us, but you could hear it in their voices, like Stevie.
You're right.
Or, you know, someone just had that voice. But B&G was like, okay. And then, you know, she recorded I Don't Want to Lose Your Love.
Right.
Hammer called me one night. I couldn't believe it. I was cooking or doing something. And she said, hey, Wanda, I'm here with so-and-so, the guy who knows you. I'm just calling you because I'm recording this song on B&G. And it's these words. I don't want to lose your love. I don't want to lose your love. I think you need my love. When we go to that, you can't defeat. We go to a whole nother interval of harmony. She says, who stays on the bottom? No, don't the lead stay? I said, no, the lead doesn't stay. Mm-mm.
I love they called to ask you that. Right.
No, yeah.
And
they
she had
for
to
that.
Find out.
They called for that. In Vogue called for that.
In Vogue.
They called for those things. Just and the harmonies, just how they did the harmonies.
But Dad did that. He did our harmonies that way. And I was like, and then when we got with Charles Stepney, he was saying, we were doing How Can You Stop Loving Someone?
One of my favorites.
Yeah. How can you stop loving the one you do? And he says, Wanda, how did you write this song? Do you know this is the Beethoven? But he named some sonata that Beethoven wrote. I said, I don't know nothing about a sonata that Beethoven wrote. He said, do you know you're actually doing 28 bars of the blah, blah? I said, no, I don't know anything about that. But anyway, he said, oh, okay. And people would ask us those kind of questions, and I'm like, oh.
What was Charles Stepney like? He was someone that, a hero of mine, but I mean, he died so young.
So young.
What was it like working with him?
Okay, we were in this living room. Maurice was in.
Maurice White.
Maurice White was in L.A., and he told us how to get my father took us over to Charles's house. And so we sat there upstairs, and we're just hearing this lovely music come from the basement where his 8-foot piano was. And he said, oh, well, and his wife came in there, oh, what's her name, Liz? Oh, yeah. She came in, she said, oh, don't worry. He does that about 3 hours every morning. He has to play, you know, it sounds like the Beethoven move, the opera kind of music. Because, one, he was the director for the Chicago Symphony.
Chicago Symphony, right.
Remember? Mm. And I didn't know that then. And so he was rehearsing because him and Minnie Riperton were fixing to perform about a week, that weekend or something. And I was like, Minnie Riperton? But he's playing opera. I mean, he's playing. Right. He said, that's how he prepares.
That's awesome.
Wow. So when he said that, that really made me feel like, wow, he thinks I write a song that's like a sonata from somebody with, you know.
Yeah. And did you play this one, or did you play piano or all your songs?
Yeah, I play piano.
Okay, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm, I play piano. And that's where you would start all your songs?
Yes.
That you wrote on the piano. Okay, gotcha.
How competitive were the talent shows that you guys were doing? Like you mentioned, you know, the Five Stair Steps and the Jacksons and all those.
Right.
Like how... I mean, from the Jacksons, and I know that, you know, they had to rehearse.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
To the white meat fall off.
That part. Yeah.
But, I mean, just in terms of in preparing for a particular competition, was it like, you know, we have to, like, who was in your targets, as in we got to be as good as or...
Wow. You love Mavis.
Yeah, I did. I love Mavis. And,
Mavis Staples.
Were
Mavis
they
very
in?
Strong.
Were the Staples were in?
Were the Staples Center in the competitions when you guys would be doing?
The Staples Singers?
Staples Singers, excuse me.
No, because we were so much younger.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
Yeah.
But who was in the circuit of the talent shows that were like...
Who would you be going up against?
Because and that's something, because the Jones girls had come. I remember when they came in there, because we knew they'd... My dad knew their dad. And, these other groups. But the Barrett sisters, like you were saying, you know. Josephine Howard, Caravans. See, Dad would take us to all the gospel shows, the gospel concerts. And they would be at the high school auditorium where Vernine went to high school, as a matter of fact. But that's where all of the, it was because it was so huge and the sound was really cool.
Right.
And we would see Mighty Clouds of Joy, the Caravans, those were the harmonies besides those girls, the Lennon sisters and the, I don't know, Dad had 78s of those and he would play them. And so, but there were so many talent in Chicago that never got out. That was like us. And for whatever reason, I know a couple of them, you know, they tried to do some things in Chicago, but I don't know. They just... Now, you're talking about the singers that live in Chicago, right?
Well, no, I meant just... you mentioned doing a talent contest and winning the Stax prize.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I just meant in the everyday circuit, would you always see...
Oh, I see.
The Jackson 5, would you always see...
Those types of names.
Five Stair Steps.
Yeah, like, were they always... And in your mind, was it like, we must win? Or
but
was it like...
You know what? They were more helpful. You would go to the high school, you know, situation. You would go to the community center, and when you would rehearse, they would say, oh, let so-and-so come up. Oh, this is so-and-so family from blah, blah, blah. And they'd come up, and you would actually help them. Well, you know these the Hutchinson son me. Oh, can they show us something? And you would do that. That doesn't happen today, but that's what happened then, you know.
Because
they're so competitive today, nobody wants to help the other one come up. But then, I mean, they were ready to ask and ready to learn. You know, I remember when we first met the Destiny Child.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the Robert Townsend show he had in the house.
Yeah, I saw that.
Some kind of show.
Parenthood.
Yes, Parenthood. Right. And you know, you always had to sing a song that you just did a cappella. And that one that day was a gospel tune. Well, I'm trying to think, because Sheila and my girl Beyonce come over.
Motown Live.
Yeah, remember when he came out in the house?
Y'all did Flowers together, right?
I want to say it was Flowers.
You did Flowers
together.
I remember that episode.
Yes, that's it. It was on that one. And Tyrese was on there because I had to teach him Maurice's part for Boogie Wonderland. We all sang that at the end together. You
got
know?
It. Whoa. Got it.
But that's the closest thing I brought that up that reminded me of. And Beyonce is so humble, her
Absolutely.
Heart, you know. And she came, she said, well, y'all know now. Am I singing the right part? I mean, she just, I was like, wow. Yeah. And we wouldn't say anything. I said, well, it's not you, but it's the other girl.
No.
Yeah. It was the other girl. It was someone. Yeah. But anyway.
Don't stop mama from giving the tea.
I'm like, mama. I'm like, Beyonce is sweet. That's
all
I'm
saying. Sorry. All right.
Latavia, mama.
We're not naming names.
But she was actually very humble, and my mom took us out of high school for that because we went with her, and I was in 10th grade. I was in my geometry class, and they said, Ms. Vaughn, your mom has sent a limo for you outside. I was like, word, here I am 16. I got up like, sorry, it's still my mama. And they had a car that sent for us, and it took us down to I forgot what area we were in, maybe Century City ish sort of a thing. I wasn't driving back then, but we went there, and it was so nice the way that Robert Townsend had done it. Everything was so nice and plush or whatever, and they had all gone to do their makeup, and I'm thinking mom's coming back to this little cottage place where we were all stationed while they were all at makeup. And, you know, we hear the knock and everything, and I'm like, mom, and it's Beyonce. And I'm just like,
oh, so casual.
I like you. I think you're amazing. She's like, oh, I just wanted to come and tell you that I love y'all, mom. Like, I love y'all, mom. I mean, like, so when she talks about her admiration for the emotions and she's a steward, like, she is a student, it's genuine. She's not, that's so real. And she was a sweetheart then, and she's a sweetheart
she's
now.
Still a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart really is. All around.
The contract that you guys won brought you guys to Memphis.
Yes.
So
Isaac Hayes. Mm-hmm.
You went down there by yourselves, or your whole family moved?
Well, you know, the Staples were on Stax. They were on Stax Records.
Right.
And so Purvis, who was our manager, he said, Al Bell. And then, you know, Maurice and them had...
That's right. I forgot Maurice lived in Memphis.
So, but anyway, that was after...
What about Isaac Hayes?
I know that it was Isaac Hayes in Memphis. You're right.
Yeah.
But he produced the Staple Singers song, Betty Crutcher, and what's the guy that did Shaft?
David Porter.
Porter, and I mean the writers down there. You really, you know, you saw where the blues. Because there was so many, Luther, and we sung with Luther the first time. I couldn't believe that guy. His voice, the clarity, you know.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a voice like that, actually.
Right.
Since him, not even...
Ruben.
But not that pristine. It's another league.
You all were living down there? When you was recording in Memphis? Did you guys live down there?
No,
you were just...
But we stayed there so long. I mean, we just made it our home. We knew where all the restaurants were, and the thing that they had where Martin Luther King, Lorraine Motel. Which the studio is nowhere from the walking distance.
Got it.
So it just to pass that place, and then where he would eat all the time at the Four Way, that was the name of the restaurant. It had the best peach cobbler in the world.
Jeez.
And oh my gosh.
Peach cobbler.
But anyway. All
right.
We haven't had lunch yet. So.
Uh-oh.
What was the Stax Records operation like? I've seen just interviews with Al Bell and seeing documentaries and stuff. What was that like? Because at the time they were independent and they were a small black-owned business.
Oh, that's right.
What was that like being?
It was something because Rufus Thomas's son, Marvell, who played the organ and so forth. And then what was his sister's name? Gee whiz.
Carla Thomas.
To see them in there. And he's coming up with this song that he's just writing. And his father would always come, that ain't fast enough. Every time he come, he always say, Ruth would say, that ain't fast enough. And no matter what it was. But he was so, you know, genuine. I mean, they were just something to work with. And the Mad Lads and the, what was the guys, James and them, the rhythm section.
The bar case.
Nice.
Oh, I love just seeing them. Okay, you would go in that studio, see them. Then we go in the studio where Isaac is Show Me How. That's what we were doing.
Right.
And he's showing the strings are sitting there. And I'm like, wow, look at. And what he's doing is he's singing the parts to them. There was
no sheet music.
Maybe somebody wrote it out later.
Right.
But what he just heard them in his head. And he could play piano, but not, you know, real virtuoso or anything. But he could hear every string part, and he could hear the horn parts. And that's how he did it.
He would just dictate
like,
it to him.
Right.
I didn't know that's the way you did. He said, well, most people don't. Right. Most people, Johnny Pate and all the rest, they would actually write it out.
Right.
And then they would play it. But he just sung it to them, and they would play it. Well, they would note it, you know.
Right.
And then play it, Show Me How, the song. And that was something for me to see, you know.
So the first album was So I Can Love You, correct?
Yes, the first song. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is it weird to you guys now? Because from not the world I come from all worlds. But
right, yeah, right.
What's weird to me was that I really, not until I started digging when hip-hop producers, you know, go through old records that, or in their parents' collection or that sort of thing. So is it weird for you to see the renaissance of a lot of your songs, especially from the Stax period, come up and sort of find new life?
In hip-hop.
Yeah. It's like, it's weird because Blind Alley.
Mm-hmm. My father wrote that.
Really?
Blind Alley. Ooh. If you listen to the lyrics, you know that's an old school, you know, I've got who I want, sorry you don't, you know.
Right.
And that's how dad would, you know, that's, you know, a dad thing. Even, you know, it was something. And then when Big Daddy Kane did.
Yeah, half-stepping. Come on.
Yes,
I didn't know.
Oh,
I just learned. I learned that was Mom and Them song in 2015. Dre taught me.
Oh, wow.
Like 2015, really? Like 2 years ago.
Oh,
so
man.
You got to walk me through it.
Listen, Blind Alley has been sampled so many times.
You would know that's Sweet Lover by Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Six by then.
Thank you.
What part of the Dream Love?
The entire song.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about? Okay, I'll play Blind Alley for 2 seconds. All right.
Yeah, that's all it's going to take for you to recognize it.
But, and they did it at UNLV.
Oh, yeah. I think of Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with this.
I'm the Big Daddy Kane. Yeah.
That's Clap Your Hands by Dazza Fetch.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
It's like a million. An episode of The Breaks.
The remix to Scenario.
An episode of The Breaks.
Right, yeah. That's, yeah, it is.
See.
Is that Auntie Teresa?
But see, what's even weirder is that those actual drums have like fed.
Oh, baby,
dude!
At least over 400 hip hop songs, like between like,
and that's Muscle Shoals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the rhythm section.
Really,
that's Muscle Shoals.
That wasn't the Stax House Band.
But they were the Doug
Well,
Don.
I thought Muscle Shoals were in Alabama.
Oh, well, it's something we didn't know. When they said Muscle Shoals, we didn't know that was a place. We thought that was just that
the
rhythm
name
section.
Of the okay.
That Doug Don and what's the white guy on the guitar? Oh, he's the funkiest.
Steve Cropper.
Steve Cropper. And
ask me about any white guy.
So the MGs.
That's what she's Booker talking about.
Donald Duck and
Duck.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Nice. So does that mean that Al Jackson was on drums?
Al Jackson, yes.
So crazy. I forgot why I went to the Stax studio in Memphis, but in a cage there is Al Jackson's one and only drum set.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That I'm like, what are you guys going to do with this drum set? You're just going to keep it in the cage. Like, if it were on display, it'd be one thing, but it's just like.
Well, that's what they turned it into, you know.
Huh? It's supposed to be turning it into a
It's a display.
Museum.
Remember, did we all. We went
no,
there.
We didn't get the chance to go. We had
the museum?
We went. I must have came back for something then. I must have had to teach.
Yeah.
Because
me and Wanda went.
Ain't that nothing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had
no. Y'all did it early, and I was probably still asleep. That's probably what happened. But, oh, man.
There's also. There's a. I don't I believe it's on a one of those, like the European version of the Stax Box set, but you guys have a version of As Long As I've Got You. That's
but
like
Shamel's original.
Well, I mean, Shamel's put it out, but there's an Emotions version that's like,
that's like, true. Wow, killing. You really know.
It's killing. I always wanted to know, like, for who makes the final decisions of what makes, you know,
the albums
and those sort of things.
I'm telling you, it was Isaac Hayes, because I would see them going through. You know what, and it wasn't my father, you know, he wasn't involved in that part, but usually Isaac and David, and then sometimes Al Bell, and they would argue sometimes, but usually Isaac would win. So
nice.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, it's like on a Japanese one of those Japanese compilations. I got the second
you
of
got
it.
The orange. Yeah.
It's killing, though. Wow. It's
what
killing.
Is this?
Yeah.
Dang, why?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Is that casual?
It's killing.
Your mama and your auntie's the shit. You should know this.
That's Jeanette.
It is.
That's Auntie Jeanette.
I think I like this version better.
I know. I'm like.
Auntie Jeanette.
And for the life, because that song is also a hip hop staple.
I mean,
it's not like you guys can see in 1969, like, hey, genre music's gonna come out 30 years from now that can just revitalize our entire catalog.
Oh wow!
But
oh
my gosh!
It's just like, but then it also goes to show you that quality.
Wow.
Things were so much high quality back then that even your throwaway songs.
Wow.
Could have changed someone's life some 30 years later.
That's amazing.
But I always wanted to know, why didn't you guys release that song? Because it's
killing.
And I've never heard that.
Me neither.
That's on the Stax compilation. We have it.
Mom,
the orange
with everything around me. That's cream.
Large orange.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's humongous.
We should redo that. You guys.
Yeah. Well, you've done it.
I'm floored.
You know, floored. It's almost like we were on the Tom Joyner cruise. Uh-huh. We're singing. Uh-huh. Biz Markie comes up to us. Isn't this something? He comes up. He says, you know, there's never any, he couldn't find how to get in touch with us.
Right.
Because when he used The Feeling Is, I said, you used what?
Yeah, he did.
Sheila wrote that.
Yeah, right.
And he actually, right there, he had whoever was with him, lawyer, manager, whoever it was, take Arthur. Do you know he started paying her from that tour? And you know how long ago that had come out?
Yeah.
Because Tom Joyner just started those things.
Yeah,
you know,
the cruises.
A few years ago. And he did. He got her thing and everything and started paying her.
That's so dope.
Really?
Wow.
He used it for
wait a minute.
A Feeling Is.
What goes around.
What goes around comes around. Yeah.
And then Quick used it for I Got the Feeling.
Well, right. Mom loves Quick. Quick loves
Oh,
him.
Quick. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He loves it.
Well, wait a minute. Your mind must be blown. I hope you know about the Raekwon Only Built for Cuba Links.
Verbal intercourse.
If you think it, might as well do it.
If you think it.
Don't cry,
Blue.
Don't cry.
Wow.
But what if he hurts me?
From Raekwon. Oh, she's about to.
Yeah,
she's about to cry.
You didn't know that.
It's such a cruise like that. That sample for me,
man. Listen,
that sample
that changed
for me
everything.
Was because I remember sitting in the tour bus, and the way that RZA uses samples, and he always dug into the Stax records,
right.
At the time, I was like, well, wait a minute. Why are they rhyming over her talking?
Right.
And we sat there the whole time like, is this allowed? Like, this is not. Usually with hip-hop, you wait for the clean four-bar break.
Exactly.
And that was the first time I ever heard anyone from Wu-Tang just blatantly rhyme over any. It's like, we don't care if she's talking. We'll just.
And then Ghostface started rhyming over the record.
Crazy.
Rhyming over the song.
Right. Over the whole, wait, so
if you think you might as well do it.
If you think it, you might
Ninth
as well do it.
Wonder shows me so much. And how we missed that one, because I didn't know that Blind Alley was in the remix to Scenario.
Yeah, it's the drums. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That part. He showed me some stuff. Dre showed me some stuff. I've never heard that. My mind is blown.
No, I'm telling you. In your show, in your show, like at least four or five of your stacks classics could be done, and a bunch of 30 to 40 hip-hop heads would just be like, yo!
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
oh my
so gosh. There's, you know, I mean, beyond the Columbia stuff. So let's move to that. So how... There was a lull between 1972 and 1976 before the Flowers album came out.
Stacks went bankrupt.
What was happening between... So you were still contractually obligated to stay?
Well, they went bankrupt, and Union Planners took over everything. I didn't know a bank could take over songs. But Union Planner Bank in Tennessee, Memphis, took over everything. So it was getting away from that hullabaloo. And how to, you know, go to the next thing. But we got, you know, we were right in high school, and we were just at the part where in a senior, I remember, because I got a scholarship to go to
Northwestern.
Minnesota. No.
I thought it was Northwestern. My bad.
In Missouri, where Bell Biv DeVoe, where he went for music. Anyway.
Okay.
But, and we were like, oh gosh, well, that's good. That's not happening. So now I could go out and do my, you know. And then here comes Maurice White. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, you know, I just did something. I got Niecy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Niecy. And Ramsey Lewis. Uh-huh. And some, who was the other one? Okay. But it was.
Pockets.
And he needs a. Yes.
Yeah. Pockets.
He wanted a girl group.
Yeah.
And Ron Ellison, my father's friend, who also is a drummer.
Yeah.
In Chicago, jazz drum. Anyway, and he lived with Maurice at the time. I mean, anyway, they were playing around places in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, hey, Ron says to Maurice, I can hook you up because Joe is my buddy, and we'll hook you up. And their thing is over with Stacks. So, you know, and that's when they arranged the meeting. That was our first meeting, was at Charles Stepney's house, because Stepney had just done Ramsey song, the Ramsey
Sun Goddess.
Yes,
yes,
there you go.
Just done it.
So nice.
Was the Stax bankruptcy the reason why the third album didn't come out?
Yes. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Because everything was held up. They put a hold on everything. You couldn't get no masters. Well, whoever had to get the masters.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
How did you guys support yourselves in that time, from 72 to 76?
Well, we were still doing things in Chicago, and we were on tour.
Oh,
we were doing little tours and so forth. So
nice.
That was.
How old were you?
And then we're doing a lot of commercials too.
How old were you guys then at that point?
16, 17.
Because see, my grandfather started them at 3, 4, and 5. So they're talking about all of this stuff they're doing, but they still are like,
y'all were kids.
Just 18.
Yeah,
or just
like, I'm thinking you guys are in your mid 20s.
Yeah, no.
At that point.
We were on the Jerry Van Dyke Show. That was the first contest. Besides the Something Mac Hour, I forget that. But anyway, the Jerry Van Dyke Show in Terre Haute, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And my father's mother was the talent coordinator for that show in Terre Haute, Indiana. Wow. Then we were on the Ed Sullivan Show and won the whatever on that. And the, what's her name? Donna Show, Chevy Show. What was Donna? Now, that just shows you how many. But that's what the Donna Shore.
Donna Shore.
Chevy Show. I mean, I know it had to do with cars. I don't know why.
Right.
Looked like everything had to do with cars then.
Back, yeah.
But, and we won that talent show. So it was just, you know, a time, I guess, that we got through those particular ones. And I was like, huh, why is there no other, I would always wonder, family groups that we knew of that should be on these shows?
Got it.
But I don't know.
So since you started out so young, did it take a while for like the men around you to respect your voice outside of the singing, just your voice and your opinions?
Well, what was really something, when we sat down with Charles Stepney, he was saying, you know, Maurice sent us all these songs, but do you guys have any songs? That was the first time we were ever asked that. Charles did it. And we sat down, boy, we started playing songs. I had about 20. Sheila had about how many ever. Jeanette had Love Vibe, you know.
That's, yeah, oh that's Auntie Jeanette.
And,
I love that song.
So we had all, he said, well, we go to Charleston, we go throw these songs away. We would do, and we kept the one Denise wrote, though. Denise, mm-hmm. Oh, the,
okay. Mm,
okay.
Can't think.
Did Al write, Al McKay wrote Flowers, was it with you guys? Wrote, or
with Maurice.
He wrote Best of My Love.
Best of My Love.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what,
who wrote he, Flowers?
Maurice. We saw him writing it right there in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He was writing it. And at the same time he was writing it, we were like doing just the hook. Because he always had, we hold the key to the world's destiny. He always had that. And Charles was on the little Fender Rhodes electric piano. Mm-hmm. And
but you wrote, I Don't Want to Lose Your Love, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And but I Maurice wrote it, made it sound like it does now.
I wrote it as a slow, it was a slow torch song. Well, Dad called it a torch song. Mm-hmm. And dinner is ready. And the wine is chilled. My baby's coming over. Wanna let him know how I feel. Then went, hey, cause I don't wanna lose your love. I had it that slow. And then Maurice heard it. He said, Wanda, that song, you know, you've been singing for 15 minutes and you still ain't done with that song. And then he said, I think we should speed it up. I said, here's somebody saying, make it faster.
Yes, yes, you know? Exactly.
And you know, that was Rufus. But anyway. And, but he said, well, let's go. And then his brother got on the drums. Birdie. No, on the drums.
Fred.
Oh, there you go.
Fred played I Don't Want to Lose Your Love. He played the drums on that. And he got on the drums and started. So he said, well, I don't know how they figured out how they could speed it up like that, but they did.
Yep.
And when he did, I just sung the same thing faster. You know, because I don't want to lose your love. Think how it feels, baby. It's getting harder. I said, but I got to make my runs faster. Because I used to make them, you know, real slow and guttural.
Sultry, and, right.
I was Tina Turner. I love Tina Turner, right. So I was Tina Turner.
Right.
But he wanted me to sing it faster, so that's what we did.
That was a good call.
Then when we did, I my love to keep it. And you know, we got
that
from,
breakdown.
Ain't no mountain high enough. That's right. But
thinking man theme.
Temple tappers.
Okay.
But, did it take B&GB the same amount of time, or she doubled it? It took her longer to learn the song since it's.
Well, yeah, because they just were singing the wrong lyrics, you know, in the breaks. Mm-hmm. I think
and there wasn't Wikipedia back then to look
you
up the lyrics.
Right. My love. See, you won't believe my love. And she would say, you won't conceive my love or something. But we weren't saying, we were saying, you won't believe my love. But she just had the little words. She just didn't hear them.
That's crazy. Like, today's technology, we could just look on our phones and get lyrics instantly.
But right. Back then, you actually had to call
then,
somebody.
Whew.
But it's dope that they actually called. They respected. Yeah. That's dope. Mm. What was working with Maurice like? Working with Maurice White, what was that process like for you guys?
Oh,
what was he like in the studio?
He was so cool. Him and Skip Scarborough. Looks like I can't say him without saying Scarborough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Sheila, you know, the slow song, I was the fast song. When he... we were staying at the Franklin Plaza at that time, and he gave us these songs to sing. Gave Sheila's cassette, gave me one, and we had our little cassette player. And so I came in the next day, and he said, okay, put the track on. And so I was singing it, doesn't take much to, like Mavis down there, take me. He said, Wanda, what are you doing? I said, I'm singing the, he said, I want you to sing an octave higher. I said, well, you didn't say that. I don't sing high. I sing low. I sing Mavis Staples.
She sang that in a low register at one point?
Yes. No, that's how I came in,
I know,
in the
but
studio.
I mean, you tried to sing that?
Oh, yeah. That's what I used to sing. Yeah. I was Gladys Knight. I was Mavis.
She wanted to be down.
I was, you know, Mahalia Jackson. I was I was low. But anyway, I said, I don't know, Reese. I don't think. He said, just stab at it. Just see. And I said, okay, I'll do it. But Sheila's the high singer, and Jeanette, they're the ones that sing high. I sing low. Just try it. Okay, so I did. I did everything an octave higher. He said, just belt it. Don't worry about it. Just belt it out. And I did. And believe it or not, that one was the one you guys heard. Wow. We did about seven others, but they didn't like that one. They liked the first one.
Wow.
I was like,
this
but
is best of
I
my
was
love.
Even cracked. Mm-hmm. If you listen to, I mean, there's some little cracks and little like, you know, I can't believe I'm hitting these notes, you know, these hard. But anyway, and that became the one that they used. So then I start singing higher, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't singing, you know, as low.
Oftentimes in history, you'll see when singers do multiple takes of a song, they always go back to take one or take two.
Yeah. That's
the one I think is the most honest. Like, the more you keep doing it, it gets kind of rehearsed, and it's like can't recreate that first thing anymore.
Oh, you're right. That's spontaneity.
How exciting was it for you guys to, because that song was number one for 5 weeks, I believe.
Yes. Number one. I have the what do you call it?
The Billboard.
Billboard 100. Right. It's on, mm-hmm. And the other one. And there were two songs, the best of my, giving you the best of my love. And every week they would change to one and we'd be two. And then they would be two.
Oh,
and
so
then
the
we
Eagles
would,
and,
Billboard.
Yes, 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 yes.
It would be, you know, back and forth like that. And, but it was, that was amazing. Nothing like that.
There was a song y'all had on, I believe it's on Flowers, The Changes We Go Through. That was like an interlude.
Oh, my goodness.
I wrote that. It was a long gospel song. But they said, oh, let's just try. And then Maurice, of course, he just orchestrated. Let's use it as an interval, he called it. An interval piece that we take through the album. I said, okay. And all we would do is, we go through changes we go through.
To this day, that's a very, very difficult harmony. I've learned it for like some of the shows that we do. But if my sisters try to join in, sometimes we'll just be doing something. They do what stereotypically, you know, you have your note, you have your third and
Rooting
your fifth.
Sort of, and fifth yeah.
No. Yeah. They
did fourths and fifths.
And they interweave. They don't. Mm-hmm. The first time around, mom is high. Then auntie is high.
Yeah.
Then the. Every time they sing
her
it,
part
it's
would
different.
Be, we go through changes we go through. And mine was, we go through changes, is the melody, changes we go through. Yeah. And
wow.
But that's how my
Quest
dad would
exclusive.
Do it. He didn't want anyone to sound like us. So he said, I know, we'll just switch up make it sound like one thing when it's another. So
does the whole family sing? You just said your sister's YN.
Yes.
So I'm like, does everybody's kids?
Wendy.
Yes.
So what's Thanksgiving like?
Right. Oh, no, the Christmas is the one. Christmas is the one. It's a concert.
Everybody sing.
It's a humongous concert. Everybody is singing. It's pretty amazing. And so we're all the W's. Wayne, Wanda, Wayne, Wendy, YN, Whitney, Warren.
Wait, like one more time,
there
please.
You go. Wow. There you go.
You've had practice.
You're all W's?
We're all W's on this side. So it's Wayne, Wanda, Wayne, Wendy, YN, Whitney, Warren. They all sing, rap, do music, all of us. Mm-hmm. And then I do poetry.
Wayne,
so it's all
my
of
husband,
us.
Wrote Let's Groove Tonight.
Yes.
He wrote Let's Groove.
Yes. Yeah. My daddy did. Yes, exactly.
And about six other songs.
Uh-huh. And but
Side
have...
by Side.
Side by Side.
Me and Wayne. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
My mom and
that needs an air horn. All right. I needed that.
Yes.
Well,
wanna
you said
be with
six
you?
Others. What were the other ones?
And wanna be with you?
I was breastfeeding then when we wrote that.
Oh, really?
That's all I want to
do. Who's the cat I work with in Japan?
Yeah.
Toshi Kubota?
Yeah.
Between 96 and like 2000, a Japanese singer named Toshi Kubota was like the Lord Jesus Christ in Japan. Like, he plays stadiums of, like, of 80. He would play, like, 80,000 seat arenas. But he came to Philadelphia to work with us. And to him, he explained to me. Now, I was always a fan of that Ray's album.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. And for him, he's just like, you know, I Want to Be With You by Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's what I want to sound like. And all the ad-libs at the end of that song is all that he That was his life goal. So in four songs, literally all the ad libs that Maurice White would do on the on every song.
That is hilarious.
Wow, I can't believe that. What else did he write?
But those are the three that I know the best. I don't know if, do you know what Daddy did?
Please don't say Moonwalk.
I'm not going to say that because I'm not sure, but I know those are three. And like I was telling Fonte earlier, I could be better at this, but I've kind of fell in love with greatest hits albums first.
You didn't know the albums.
And then
went the album
back.
Cuts.
Yes, okay. And hip hop actually helped me go back into digging in crates and stuff like that and understanding how dope, you know, the catalog actually is. But yeah, everybody sings Chloe, but my cousin, my auntie's daughter, she's artistically inclined in the fine arts and the visual arts. So she's like an animator and a painter, and she does illustration. I did a poetry book. She did all the illustrations for my book. And our other cousins, everyone is seeing some sort of art, though. Mm-hmm. Everything art. Dancing, this, that. Everyone is doing something. It's always a party.
Now, you came aboard for the Rejoice record, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what was it like coming in cold to fill in that spot and to...
It was great. It was the best part of my life. I as a baby, was always in all the rehearsals. Right. So when she said that, when we were talking about the Soul Train, the local Soul Train, mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, and possibly I was just there in the background, and I just didn't remember. But I wasn't as young as she said, because I do remember dancing in the audience, and the room was small. Mm-hmm. But...
oh, I know it was small. I've seen photos.
Yeah.
It's like living room small.
Yeah.
But as long as I can remember, I've always been around the music. And then I've always looked forward to joining the group. And then one day when Dad asked me would I like to, he gave me a tape to start rehearsing. And this is like, I'm about 16 then. And I actually joined after I graduated in 76.
Okay.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But he had started training me, and he had his, when they were out of town, he had his friend, Uncle Billy Shelton, one of the guys from his own singing group that he used to sing with when he was singing gospel. And he would train me, and he would teach me all those songs like, with the harmonies, mm-hmm. The groups, the Andrew Sisters. What is that? Gosh, I can't think of their name, but...
Another girl group?
No, it was a men's group. Mm-hmm. But it was the different harmonies, barbershop style. Mm-hmm. And he would... give me the album to listen to, and then he would have me sing each part. And that's
each part?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that
just
was
so that
another
you would know
thing.
Where to go.
When he trained me, my dad, right. He would have me sing each part of the girl songs. Mm-hmm. So, because he would call me the utility girl, which meant that I could sing every part, everything everybody was doing.
Yes.
So whenever if they wanted me to go there because they were hoarse or something, I would go there. Or if they're having problems on stage, I would go there. You know, I could go to any part.
It's so weird because you have the highest, I think you have the highest voice.
Well, yeah, but on harmonies, I can go low too.
Really? You know my part?
Yeah. Well, but...
You know all my parts?
I know all your parts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Utility woman. Uh-huh. I know his parts. I know
wow.
his parts.
Wow.
It's lit.
It's difficult. I promise you. The stepping up to the plate, because like we say, it's a family business. So that my grandfather is who put, the girls together, my mom and aunts together, and my, grandmother, of course, is holding down the fort. There's six kids, so three were always on the road, and three were always at
home yeah.
Right? So now, being up in age and stuff, my grandmother is the one who needs, her children's help. So currently, my aunts, Auntie Sheila, whose place I'm taking in the group, and Auntie Jeanette are, being assisted by my grandmother is being assisted by them right now, okay. And everything's because we're just self-contained and everything is organic. But when my Auntie Sheila was teaching me technically how to become her. When she was showing me some things, because I come from, you know, it sounds like their beginnings. I'm even hearing more of this than on Unsung and In the House. So this is educational for me right now. But barbershop and gospel is a lot of their humble beginnings. Well, throw my dad in there, Mr., you know, Les Groove and stuff. I knew Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, and Weather Report more than I know any gospel. I can probably name you a couple gospel people, Mahalia being one of them, and anyone else. I'm like Clark Sisters.
But you were
maybe
more from a jazz background, like
jazz all day, jazz all day. I was scatting and stuff. I was like that sort of person. Auntie Sheila, is that true? Auntie Sheila's more of she's the jazziest singer of the girls. So it was almost seamless how that ended up
happening.
That you
fit in.
Yeah, and so she would teach me stage control, because she's also the animated one on stage.
Yeah,
she's the actress, you know. She's the, you know, get out there. And when she says, show me how, oh my Lord. Some of the stuff, I just sit there and just be like, Auntie, show me more. Show me more. Because you can't take your eyes off her. Like she's, whenever she's singing, you believe her. Whatever she's saying, you're going to believe it, because she's that, you know, everything, you know. I wish you guys could see what I'm doing in the studio right now. I'm just kind of being a black woman right now. You know, but I got the neck roll and the fingers.
And the finger point.
You know, but she's that sort of a singer. So if she was telling you not to ask her neighbor, or if she wanted you to show her how, she's going to make you feel that.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And that's probably what the most of the learning, because our voices and textures were kind of similar. She was like, no, you get out there, Niecy, and you own it. You have to own it. People are going to look at you and be like, hey, she's not an original emotion. She's young. Nothing. You are my baby. You're going to get out there. I'm like, come on, auntie. She was pepping me up. I felt like I could do anything, you know. So, but that's exactly what ended up happening. And that happened. It happened a couple times so far as me stepping into the group.
Yeah.
But by 2009, fall semester, my first semester of my master's program, I think that was when I most consistently started being with mom and all the girls and everything.
So your other aunties, because I want to get the lineup straight.
Yes.
In the beginning, it was you, Miss Wanda.
Uh-huh.
And it was
Jeanette.
It was Jeanette.
Auntie
she's
Jeanette.
The tall, dark skinned one.
Yes.
And then
Auntie Sheila.
Auntie Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
And then
don't ask my neighbor girl.
Yeah. So that's her singing lead on.
Yeah. Auntie Sheila.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. Listen to that doggone song.
And she did Gee Whiz. And Carla, I mean, she sat there and just cried. I mean, when we were doing that, Marvell was playing. He's a genius too. No one really knew, but but. I just love it. And how even Purvis Staples, who, not that he wasn't a producer or singer type, but he said, you got to always sing the slow song. You got to always sing the fast song. And I'm like, every producer after that said that, and they never met Purvis. But that was just the way it was, you know.
Yeah.
What was it in making the Rejoice album? Probably the notable absence on that record was, of course, Charles Stephanie passing away. Was the Flowers album one of the last albums he worked on? That and This Is Niecy, I know.
That's right.
I think they were working on Spirit when he died.
I thought okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that your records came out after Spirit. I thought that Flowers came out.
77
was first. And then Flowers was first.
Flowers came out in 76?
76, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what was it like? Because I know that he was such a father figure in the studio and working with him.
Yes.
How was it making that transition from the two?
From Maurice to Charles.
From Charles to Maurice.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Was it pressure on him to be the rock and to fill in the blanks where...
Well, you know, the poet that Maurice was, that's the way he talked to you. Like, if you didn't know what We Hold the Key to the World's Destiny, if you didn't know it, then that's on you. Mm-hmm. But he would tell it to you like that. Charles would tell you where a little two-year-old will know exactly what you're saying. And believe
it
or not, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went through it, and so did Ramsey.
when Ramsey would be in there and they would be playing, you know, like the last thing that actually they were working on was Ramsey's album. Right. And they were having a thing about the chord, where it should go here, which one should be the chorus of it and which one should be the hook.
Right.
You know, I know nothing about that today when we talk to young kids. But because everything is, it's just 80 bars of whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know. But anyway, so they were having a thing with that. And Ramsey, and I'm just sitting there, and I just love the fact that Maurice and Stephanie, they would never have anyone in their recording sessions. That was their thing. No one could talk. No.
Right.
But I could always come. Mm-hmm. And one day I came in with Johnny Pate. He said, "Wow, you know Johnny." Yeah, but I like seeing. I don't talk. Right. I don't ask any questions. Mm-hmm. I just, you know,
observe.
That's all I do. And Reese knew it. And you can't ask any questions. You can't have an opinion. And that's okay because it's not your dime.
Right.
You know? And, but they were having okay, which one should it be? Should it be the? And I thought, oh, it was one time I wanted to say something. Ramsey's was the one. And guess why I thought it? Because of something my father had nothing to do, actually, probably with what they're thinking. But it was the fifth of the chord of where the verses were. Mm. And I always thought you should go there for the reprise. I just always thought that, just in my observing different things. But I didn't say anything. So. And when they left there that afternoon, because they said, "Well, let's just break." We kind of, you know, they had a break. Let's go to lunch, you know. And Ramsey said that thing. And so they did. Stepney never came back. That's when he died. He went up in the hotel. We were knocking on the door. We were like, he said he was going over. He was going to stop by Famous Amos. And I know his wife didn't want him to stop by Famous Amos because diabetic. Yeah.
Dang, that was a store?
They had a Famous Amos store?
That's not a store. I remember him. I didn't know he had a store.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, and so we're all waiting for him. And so they went on with the session. And they sure, he's going to come sooner or later. And never did. And they went on with the thing. They finally did it, though, reprise the way Ramsey, you know. Sorry, for whatever reason, it just happened that way. Maybe because Stepney weren't there. I don't know, you know, because it was too much. It was a short period of time that, you know, when they found it out. Wow. And so when they've got the hotel key to go in his room, that's
no.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did Boogie Wonderland come to be?
Ooh.
Allie Willis, right?
Allie Willis. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, this was really something. There's always a story.
And was it an easy transition? Well, not an easy transition. I know much has been said about Boogie Wonderland. Well, much has been said about it, and sort of like, you know, I've talked to Philip about it. I've talked to mm-hmm. Maurice about it. And mm-hmm. They kind of have conflicting stories.
It was conflicting. Mm-hmm.
And even mm-hmm. David Foster has his two cents about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your, you know, I mean, a Grammy win's a Grammy win. And that's something that you can't take away from, you know. Right. But at the time, like, how did it even fall
Maurice
into your
lap?
Maurice
was in New York doing Sgt. Pepper. And he got a call, and then Allie, he said, "Listen, I just got this song, and I got to call Ben because I want Ben to arrange it." When he heard it, he heard just this little hook, "Wonderland, dance." He just heard like that little 8-bar thing, not the verses or anything. He said, "Oh, the Emotions have got to sing this." But Allie, of course, "Oh no, it's got to be Earth, Wind, and Fire." Well, Earth, Wind, and Fire, of course, is gonna finally do it.
Right.
Yeah, but. He heard it, you know, like that. And so my father was saying, and at that time they were into a thing with the Cavallo and them as to the record company going, you know, by itself or something. Mm-hmm. And at that time I didn't know what it had to do with it, but it was just the fact that my father wanted the song to be on.
On you guys' album.
Our album, too.
Yeah.
And
So Boogie Wonderland was supposed to be an emotion song?
Yes. It was
on
supposed
the Sunbeam
to be
album.
On our album. On that
As
smile.
Well, you mean.
On the Sunbeam album.
Yes.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yes. And Mom, they you wouldn't let it happen.
You mean it's supposed to be on your album as well?
Yes.
Okay.
It should have been on our album.
I see.
And my father nearly had a heart attack with Cavallo and them, you know, fussing about it. And I didn't understand why they wouldn't let it. So what? It's too, look like they get to double the money, it just looked like to me. But anyway, I don't know what the head trip was with
right,
it.
Right.
But we went on a date. I said, well, you know, we're doing this on our record time. We're, you know, you're interrupting the, you know, our session to do it, to do the vocals. So why would there be a problem with it going on our? See, that's why that just sounded like no brainer.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that it was supposed to go on there. They wouldn't allow it. It was they, Cavallo and Ruffalo. And I don't know, you know.
Bad guys.
I don't know, yeah. But, and it didn't happen that way. But when we heard the song, we did the, you know, the dance, boogie, wonderland. And he said, Ben Wright's got to
do the strings. Do the
arrangements. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ben Wright. And every time I hear him now on the Justin Timberlake stuff, yeah. you know he had to do it. But, anyway, it was just amazing how that part went down. And Maurice wasn't going to be able to even sing on it or anything until he got back from Sgt. Pepper. Because he was there doing the song for Sgt. Pepper.
Got to get Jim on life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know why he wasn't doing it in L.A., but, you know, we didn't know a lot of stuff then. But so he was doing that in New York. He said, well, have them put the hook down. You know, have them put the, I'm going to send you the track, Massenburg. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. He sent him the track, and we went on doing it. And then my father was like, oh, no, we got to get this on paper. No, because you're doing it on the girls' session time, and you blah, 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 you know, I didn't really know what that had to do with it. But no, nah, of course I know now.
You
know?
Right.
So your father was on it like a hawk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With Cavallo and those guys, were they managing you guys as well? Or
no.
Your father was your manager?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I see.
And on all the tours, of course, it was always them meeting, you know, Dad and, you know, Uncle Valo and what we did and where. Mm-hmm. And
what was touring like for you guys? Because you're raising.
We used to travel in a bus, catching up with their airplane. And then Dad said, that's it. They're not going. We're not traveling no more. If you don't get us in the airplane.
Really?
So then they got us in the airplane.
Word up.
That's all it takes.
You should have been asked. Man. Come on, Quest.
But Denise wasn't in the airplane, and then the other folk wasn't in the airplane.
Really? Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. We're singing these songs. We're actually, it'd be different. You are on paper with us, right. You know, doing, and then, well, I didn't say that. You know, that's right. Probably was Dad's thing. But that was the thing.
The Boogie Wonderland episode, did that kind of lead to the deterioration of you guys' working relationship with Maurice?
Oh, yeah. At the same time, see, he got away from Sony. Were they Sony then?
Yeah.
He got away
the
from
the ARC thing.
Right. And he got ARC. Okay. That was when that happened. So we were signed to his production company. So it became a conflict of interest. That was what was told to us. It was a conflict of interest. So,
Boss Bill and I often have these conflicts. When I always say that the turning point of a career is once a producer is given his own studio complex and and vanity label.
Wow.
And that often
is never the same.
Bill does not agree with me, but
not in every case.
Yeah, but in both of our cases, yeah. I don't know. If it's not broken, don't try to improve it.
Yeah. Got it.
Even to this day.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like the studio conditions that I record in have to be as dire and cheap as possible. Like
wow.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, Tariq. Tariq is the one that likes the fruit plates and the fresh cookies, fresh baked cookies and stuff. Nah, I need it. I need roaches running around my studio so I can feel at home.
That part.
Was I mistaken? I believe sometime in 1998, was there not an off-Broadway play about you guys' career?
Bigger Than Bubblegum.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This makes sense now because there was a group that my band was working with at the time called the Jazzy Fat Nasties. And I remember this is like when we were making our fourth record and we were living in New York in an apartment. Nice. And I think for a week straight, they were going to see, I guess, I think they were going to do something with the play. I don't know if they were going to star in the play or something like that.
Yeah.
But they kept telling me that, the Motions are trying to get their off-Broadway play ramped up to do. But what was the basis of the play? Was it just about you guys in the beginning?
Yes, how we started. And it opened with the scene. My father, we were at the church, and he's in the coffin. There's a funeral at his funeral. And we're reminiscing all of the things, how we started singing. And we started singing our theme song, which was the Hutchison, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. Then we would sing that. Then we would sing some of the other songs that back in the day. But we would end up going on the road, meeting Maurice, and then you would see all of these guys coming, promoters, come here, do this, do that. And then, and then it culminated with the fact of us having the Grammy, American Music Award, and receiving all these things, and then the breakup.
Right.
And then it had the part,
reconciliation.
The reconciliation.
Yes. Yeah.
What were some of the causes of you guys breaking up? What happened?
Well, the promoters seeing, the record company seeing different ways than my father.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused when the ARC thing happened, that actually, because we had to rewrite the contract because we don't rewrite it. You just stay with, that says. Right. We got to rewrite the contract. Because it was going to from one company to another.
Yeah. Right.
And this is after the Sunbeam album.
Who produced the New Affair album?
Billy, what was the label? Billy, it was Maurice and the guy.
No, New Affair? That was
New Affair, yeah.
That guy, can't think of his name.
I know.
I'll look it up.
And he's got a show out right now, and he's got those two sons, After the Love Is Gone.
David Foster.
David Foster and Maurice. Wow. Why did I get with Billy? I know.
I'm like, Billy? I'm going with
But there's another guy. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you know him, too, because the songs he wrote, you know him.
Have you guys ever done a recording as a quartet?
No.
Really?
It was always three of us.
On some of the songs, Blessed. Yes. Yes. It was all of you guys.
Oh,
wow.
And even my Uncle Joey, wasn't his vocals in there,
Oh, yeah,
too?
On Rejoice, because he wrote that, my brother.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Rejoice.
Okay. My Uncle Joey was on there. And when they would do their tour, you asked about tour life. When they were out on tour, stuff like that.
I'm walking the line. Remember the guy that would sing? Well, Maurice sung it on the record. But we sung it, all four of us, you're right, on the tour.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So they had some of them where it was a quartet, but it was three girls and my uncle, Joey.
And Joe.
Uh-huh, and everything. And I think that would be what? That would be Mom, Auntie Sheila, and
Billy Myers.
There you go.
You're right.
Okay. You just remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, go on. Okay. Auntie Pam and Uncle Joe. So that, when they did do a quartet sort of a situation, it was three girls, one brother, right?
Right.
It was always, I don't think it was ever all four of you.
Yeah, it was. On Bless It and Rejoice.
And on Bless It. That's right. Oh, that's right. What she gets paid on.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes.
Bless It and Rejoice.
And one more.
It was one more, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bless It.
So were you fine with it ending in 81? Like, okay, well, let's... You know,
oh, yeah, because I'd start having a baby every year. And then
81 is my older sister. 82 is me. Thank
81,
you.
Yeah. Her other 82, and then 86 and
90.
Well, yeah. And then we were doing that. And then I was writing with Patty and doing stuff with Aretha, writing songs for her. And
you and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
They both started doing a whole lot of stuff.
For them. What did you write after?
2,000 miles away from me. The Diva album. La Diva.
That was
Diva Aretha Franklin?
Yeah. Did you see that? Did you hear that?
I'm sorry. No, it's just so much has been made of that particular record. But there's it's a duet that she did.
Yes, on there.
You wrote that song?
No, not that one.
Okay, okay.
That's the album. You're saying that's the album that your song was on. Do you know
that?
That was the name of the name of the song was...
Yeah, to this day, Aretha explains that her transferring to Clive at Arista and her anger at the old regime at Atlantic was because of the them dropping the ball on the La Diva record.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was something. That was something.
Yeah. But they were doing that. You was doing a lot more stuff at home. Because I remember when she did the Soul Train, like when they were in the white suits, and right. that was mm-hmm. in L.A., she had to leave us, and I saw them on TV, and I was grabbing at the TV like, Mom, no. Like, get here. Like, what are you? And my dad just
the
described
white suits?
Me. Oh, yeah.
That was Midnight Special.
That was Midnight Special.
That was Midnight Special. My bad.
Sorry.
There you
go.
Is that Don Kirshner? Or
no, that's
that
Rock Concert. Concert.
That's Rock.
You
yes.
did Rejoice over Rock Concert.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
sorry. My middle name is, well, actually. Sorry.
Wait, what were you guys wearing on when you guys did the Soul Train? I thought Dad said that I was going crazy over the Soul
Those
Train.
Those were like brown
dresses. The ones
they
mom
were dresses.
Did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
okay.
They had
I'm
the A-line.
To see that other one.
We had different designs of the
right,
same.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I was going nuts though, and I wasn't happy. I was also
at home.
Yeah,
I
was what also was that like
to two
see
or
him?
Three. Yeah. Number one, you couldn't understand, you know, I couldn't explain why she was this tall, like 5 right. inches. When I'm like, when she's here, she's so much taller. Why is she only this big? You know, I thought there was something wrong. You know, but
when did you put two and two together that, oh, Mom was something?
Oh, like, late. I'm so late on that stuff because she was just Mom. So I'm talking about like high school she when people would see
school
so
teachers.
There like, wasn't a mantelpiece with these things and
well,
trinkets.
Yeah.
And
school but teacher. I never thought yeah. about it. I never thought about it like that because like mm-hmm. Maurice was like a godfather for us. Stevie would be at the house. And this was regular.
And that was nothing to you?
That was so regular. That's
yeah,
so regular
Stevie
to me.
Stevie would come over for
I don't feel like helping him walk in the living room. Y'all help him walk in. Like,
she made me. Oh, how about this? You want to talk about pressure? I wrote my first song on the piano at 10 years old, and the first person I had to audition it for was Stevie. Because she's like, oh, just play that for Stevie. I'm like, nah, I do know who Stevie is in my head at 10. I'm like, right. yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Nah. Like, are you serious? And everything. And so this was New Year's Eve, and she finally had me on one. I was like, oh, my Lord heaven. So I ended up doing it or whatever, and he did not laugh at me, and mm-hmm. I respect that man to this day for just letting me be. And I'm like, fingers shaking and clunking and stuff or whatever.
Oh, that
but
was
yeah,
good.
For Mom and them, I would say, it's so funny, no, not even, you know, putting on, hip-hop is what explained to me how serious Mom and them were from
yes.
the sampling type stuff mm-hmm. and from when people would see me in a studio, learn me, and it would be like, oh, she's a great girl, great energy, so nice, blah, 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 blah. And wait, her mom is, wait, who?
No,
who
the
is
first
her mother?
Time we met, like, I was kind of insulted. Like, because we did the interview. It was after the Foreign Exchange Show. We did,
absolutely.
It was an El Rey, I think.
Yeah, at the El Rey, absolutely.
And so after we met, and she was like, oh, I'm Wanda. I was like, hey, what's going on? We did the interview, and she was like, oh, well, you know, my mom is, you know, Wanda. I was like, what?
I know.
And she was like, yeah. She's like, I'm sorry, I just, most of these young guys don't know. I'm like, listen, hey, thank you for
this
calling
guy.
Me a young guy. But I'm like, honey, I don't think you know who you're talking to. Like, your mom is who of what? Like, do you understand how I grew up? Like, how my mother used to play these records?
Yes.
Every day. Like, Don't Ask My Neighbor was the morning song of me going to school. Like, dude, do you? That was well. I want to ask you about covers because on it was Jade's album in they covered Blessed and Don't
Yes,
Ask
they
Neighbor.
Did.
They sure did.
How did you? I thought they sounded great.
I did too.
I
thought it was wonderful. I thought I remember Skip Scarborough telling me about it. He said I like it, but they're using the wrong chords.
Well, actually,
right that. There you go. Yes.
Did any people ever seek you out after you know after 81? Once you know you guys had kind of disbanded, did you do any like backup work or session work for?
We did a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
I went on tour with Patrice Rushen.
And she, yes, mm-hmm. right.
Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Oh, yes. Jeffrey Osborne. Tell us more. What year?
Well, we were with the big when she had her, they had their song,
Forget Me Nuts.
Yes, Forget Me Nuts.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
80, what?
I remember Carl.
What was that?
82.
82.
Something like that.
Yes.
Because my dad was still alive.
So it had to be 82.
Oh, yeah. Because he passed in 85. 80. So, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was working with Patrice Rushen like?
It was was great. It was just me and her as the only girls. She would always go play racquetball, and she would invite me to go. And
you played racquetball?
And they were the same height.
Oh, I didn't know. People love racquetball in the '80s. Oh, yeah. They played tennis.
I tried to hang out with the band.
Racquetball and backgammon.
Good. Yeah. They sure did.
I learned backgammon on the plane with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. That's when I learned.
Every wow. black household mm-hmm. in the '80s.
Mm-hmm. And then we would always play tennis, and Andrew Woolfolk and I was
Maurice.
Always
Maurice
yeah,
Maurice.
And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maurice and who would always be his partner? Besides Dad, it was someone else.
But
anyway,
Ron
but
Ellison.
Me and Andrew, we were the net, you know.
Lord.
I was the you best the volley.
They really yeah. No, she literally in her head she coaches Serena and no. Venus as she watches them on everything they do today. But
oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you did that back in 80s.
But she always
82?
83.
Yeah.
82, 83.
Mm-hmm.
So in 78, for the longest, my aunt and I would go to record store mm-hmm. and harass the sales clerk about, do you have the Emotions 45? You're going to make me love somebody else.
Oh,
oh wow.
Gonna for make weeks. Me. No.
Not that one.
It took us 7 weeks to realize that was not the Emotions.
What?
What were your feelings on the Jones Girls? You're going to make me love somebody
else. That's who it was. Oh. The Jones Girls. Yeah.
Like, what?
I loved them, but I love seeing them, and I love their voices.
You guys are severely yeah. diplomatic.
Wow!
I meant like you didn't. Did you feel any way like
they biting or it was?
Because even when Free came out, I just naturally assumed that because
Free by
I knew
Denise Williams.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, this all this is coming out when I'm 6 and 7, so I'm not a super adult, but.
A super adult.
No, you're not. You're 7.
No, but I was mature. I'll say that at 7. I
you're
was probably no, I was probably 19 as a musician because of the household I grew up
okay,
in.
Okay.
Nice.
But
nice.
I knew Earth, Wind, and Fire's backdrop when I heard it.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
Certain percussion they were using that stuff.
Right.
So in my head, I thought, oh, Free. That's the Emotions. Mm-hmm. And wow. I also thought, because of a certain, it's a certain clave, it's that spoon thing that Maurice White uses. It's a lot on Rejoice.
It's on Rejoice, yeah.
But
yeah.
it's also on You're Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So instantly I was like, oh, new emotions.
Must be the Emotions.
Right.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't Paulino de Costa?
Paulino de Costa.
It probably was, but I don't know. Usually Philly International musicians are self-contained,
you're
so
right.
It wasn't him.
Hmm,
however, like, okay, so you were saying that we love the Jones Girls. And no. Okay. So no. Not once where y'all like, okay.
But you know what? Everyone had that perception that we should have been.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, it's cool.
It is definitely building on you guys.
I'm going to tell you, Mariah called Carrie, called me from MTV. I'm sitting in my living room. And that song that came out that everybody thought she bit off of.
Emotions.
Yes.
Oh, you got me feeling emotions.
Oh, you got
yeah.
Oh, emotions. Yeah.
On the remix, she did.
And everybody wanted us to be mad at her.
No, that was an homage.
But that's what
she
I'm saying.
She even named it after you, so it was obviously like an homage.
I thought it was just the most wonderful thing that she did that, and I said it, you know, because I had no idea she was going to call or anything, and that was just so happened. I was like, oh my gosh. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it just made me feel special. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was wonderful. And then I'd met her some time ago, and anyway, she's so cool.
What is life
she's
like?
She's a backup singer for
Luther back
Luther.
In the day.
It was Luther and Lisa. What Lisa?
Lisa Fisher.
Yes,
Lisa Fisher.
They were both
She's
singing.
A monster.
Yes, yeah. On the Anita Shh. Baker Luther.
It's crazy because Lisa was a background
tour.
Singer. I love it.
I remember that. You remember that?
She's astounding.
I would go to hear the background. I knew what Luther was.
So
going
was my mom.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
My mom used to always just watch them.
Amazing.
I love to hear them sing background. Yeah.
What is life like for you guys now? I know y'all still tour. You still write, Miss Wanda. Like, what do y'all do now?
Right, and we are touring with all the 70s stylistics. We're always the only girls
yeah.
that are there, but from the 70s. Except for one Atlantic Star, though, when some of them are. Okay. Yeah. And
Heat Wave.
And, oh, yeah, it'd be Heat Wave.
Harold Melvin's Blue Notes, mm-hmm. Blue Magic.
Blue Magic.
Cuba Senior.
Cuba, yeah, Main and Green. Boy, he still got his voice.
Shiloh, I think
really?
He said already.
Yeah.
And we did Temps. We did the Temps. The Temptations was on.
Yeah, and then Billy Paul. That's amazing. The Billy Paul passed.
That was
like
a year ago.
9 days, we were together on stage.
Yes.
Then 9 days later, he was gone.
I was like, that was
And we know his wife really well. Mm-hmm. And but that was something. And he could be some kind of way off stage, and you wouldn't know. I mean,
he was cool to me. He always called me the youngster on
the
set.
Tell us.
So,
oh yeah,
I loved him. Her. Every time he was there, he's like, "Hey, I got my youngsters here." I'm like, "Hey, you know." So I always bring the hip hop to the 70s soul jam.
Ryan, are you the only second generation on those kind of shows, or are there other second generation?
There are some other replaced members.
Oh,
I don't
remember
know.
The cafe.
Oh, the Temps. Paul. Paul.
Oh, Paul's son.
Son.
With the Temps with Otis.
Yeah.
With Otis, I'm sorry. With Dennis.
Yes, with Dennis.
So we've done Dennis a lot Otis. Of things
he's,
with them.
He's a second generationer, but the other ones, they have people who are in who aren't the original members, but right. I don't know.
Like the Sledge girls.
Right.
Well, the Sledge use their daughters.
Yeah,
their daughters.
They do. Yeah. We haven't been on anything with them.
That one thing. And,
we wasn't the same night. That was it was in Las Vegas.
In
remember,
Vegas.
We were in the stands.
We were in the seats.
We was watching them.
We were watching.
And we were on a different night. So
yeah, that's right.
It was like a whole thing they were just doing or whatever, and we just got to stay for all of mm-hmm. them. But I got to see, Kathy? Is that something?
Yeah, Kathy. Uh-huh.
And her, man, they,
she
I'll say
really
something.
Sings, boy,
that baby, whoever the new generation is, that girl is pretty. She's a pretty
probably
young
Gabrielle.
What is her name?
I love Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, yes, she's gorgeous.
That's her.
She's gorgeous.
You don't
and she's
hear
a
that,
sweet
tea. I do love her.
A little sweet looking thing. But yeah, so on the when we're out there though, yeah, we're all. It's very rarely that we have anyone my age. But wait, what's my boy from the Delphonics?
Oh yeah,
he's the most hip hop of
William.
Everybody I've met on those things, and mm-hmm. he'll keep up with any young thing that I'm anything. What you got for me? What you got for me? Who out there?
She did her research paper.
Snoop Dogg
on
and this and that. He'll talk to me
which Delphonics?
William Bell. Wait.
Is that who it is?
Yeah,
the
Bell.
High singer.
Or Hart, is it?
Hart. Oh, William Hart.
Thank you,
because
I worked with his son at a radio station.
Oh, man.
Yeah, romance.
Yes.
And listen.
Oh, yeah.
He's the coolest cool. one.
Yeah, he just did that record with Adrian Young a couple years back.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really freaking cool, man. And yeah, so I go there, and Mom always has to advise me to be more my R&B self. Than my than my
hip hop
self. So
throw your hands in
the air. I know, right? I get way too amped some nights. I'll be honest, and I know better. So now I've been doing this since 2009. So here it is, 2017. So
she started doing the Crip Walk on Best of My Love.
I stopped it.
And then I said.
I had to.
Hey, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen.
When they first did it in L.A., the crowd
everybody
went crazy.
Went crazy.
I'm not even
going to
lie.
I didn't even know why. I heard
Snoop on and you were doing that?
Snoop was.
Yeah.
You had Hills on and
said,
was
yes,
doing that?
You're
absolutely.
Not supposed to do something. He said we weren't supposed to do the step on there or something.
He appreciated us, though.
He
appreciated, yes. He calls them auntie. And
yeah, he does.
We did him proud.
Yes.
You understand? Shout out Uncle Snoopy. You understand?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, we thank you very much for doing our show today.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. This is amazing.
Oh, thank you, Quest.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes.
All my aunties, my auntie Motions. Yeah. Auntie Motions. On behalf of Ronnie Millsap, Sugar Steve, Boss Bill, Fontigolo, Unpaid Bill, and Lightyear, this is Questlove. Questlove Supreme, only on Pandora. We'll see you on the next go round. Thank you. Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.